everybody. This is Nick Bannock, and this is the Learn Paid Media Podcast. Sorry about last week, everyone. I wasn't able to publish an episode. I was actually moving, so I took the week off just to get everything in order, and I did not make an announcement on the podcast itself, but I did send out that information on Twitter, and I'll try to make sure to make comments on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn moving forward if I ever have to postpone an episode or anything like that. Trying to get back into the rhythm now of the weekly updates. And one of the things that I'm thinking is I think I'm going to actually be releasing episodes on Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays. Originally, I was doing Tuesdays, but what I'm starting to realize is that it's easier for me to release on a Wednesday morning because I can record and edit the podcast on a Tuesday or a Monday. But before, trying to record and then edit on a Monday night to get it out Tuesday morning was getting a little tedious at times. So I'm going to be switching over to getting the podcast out by Wednesday mornings. It might release sometimes on a Thursday night just so it's ready for Wednesday morning, but just wanted to throw that out there so that everyone is aware of the changes. And today we're going to talk about Facebook ads. Specifically, we're going to talk about Facebook campaign structures, and then we're going to talk about the campaign objectives and settings and some of those things. There's a lot that we could cover with Facebook ads, and I need to keep this to a couple of simple topics to get us started, and then I'll go into more advanced topics later on the subject. But what I'm going to start with first is talking about some of the settings, and then I'm going to talk about the structures of campaigns and what I think are the best approaches to your campaign structures, how things have changed over time. And then I'll talk a little bit about ad formats, placements, and things like that. But I will tell you that I'm not going to get too deep into audiences, and I'm not going to get too deep into the pixel settings and all of the other things there. I'm not going to get too deep into the integrations, custom audiences, all these things can come later. So for now, I have Facebook ads open in front of me so that I can reference it. And right now what I'm looking at is the campaign creation. So when you go into Facebook ads, you can go to create a campaign, and they'll give you a quick creation option or a guided creation option. Usually I just do quick creation, set some stuff up really quickly, and then I go in and adjust the settings afterward. That's just my workflow, but that's because I'm used to the platform, and the guided creation annoys me a little bit because it tries to walk you through everything, creating the campaign and then the ad set and then the ad. But for me, a lot of times I'm creating a quick campaign, changing some settings, creating a quick ad set, changing some settings with my audiences, and then all of my ads, I might be copying them from a different location across the board and stuff like that. So you'll find that using quick creation is a better workflow once you have established yourself, but the guided creation will give you a little bit more information. So it's probably useful to go through the guided creation as you're getting into it and then use the quick creation when you're just trying to create a new campaign for a specific purpose, like maybe you're creating a new prospecting campaign or something like that. All right, so when you go into the guided creation, you're going to see the first two things are auction or reach and frequency. These are your two options. You're pretty much always going to use auction. I don't really run reach and frequency campaigns very often. It's pretty much for just doing a branding initiative to try to get in front of as many people as you can without spamming them. So reach and frequency makes sense if you are just looking to generate some really, really high level brand interest. But auction works a lot better for running your typical direct response campaigns, which most of us are running. And you can even run branding campaigns with auction, and that's a lot of times what I do. I'll run an auction campaign and I'll do something like traffic generation so that I can generate traffic to the website for a branding initiative instead of conversions. So as you go through, you'll pick auction, and then it will bucket you into awareness, consideration, and conversion. So look into this, look at awareness, look at consideration, look at conversion, and under each one, look at brand awareness and reach. Those are under awareness. So you can run these if you really are going high level, but I try to avoid them because even if you're running a branding campaign, a lot of times you can use it as a traffic generation campaign and get that ancillary benefit of generating traffic to the website while getting in front of a lot of people. Or you can do video views, and that will get your video to show in front of people that are actually watching it. while getting your brand in front of them. So a lot of times I'll use consideration or conversion, and I won't even really use the awareness sections, but there are some use cases for these. Not going to go through every use case here because that would just take way too much fucking time. So anyway, let's just move on to consideration. Traffic is going to be for generating traffic to your site. Really straightforward. Link clicks or landing page views. This is an important thing. When you go to optimize this on your ad sets, you will choose landing page views if you want it to be people that actually loaded the landing page. Because sometimes link clicks can be a little weird because people actually click the ad, but they don't let the page load. So a lot of times if you're generating traffic to your site, you want to use landing page views as your optimization when you're going into your ad set after creating a traffic campaign. But you will use link clicks if you're generating traffic to maybe a website that you're not tracking. Like maybe you're generating to a third party site and you don't have a pixel that you can track the landing page view on, stuff like that. That's what those really rare use cases. So most of the time, landing page views is going to be your go-to, but there are times where you'll use link clicks as well. There's engagement. This is for generating likes, shares, things like that, comments. So this is kind of like doing a promoted post, except you're controlling it from the ground up in Ads Manager, and it gives you a little bit of difference in your settings. I like doing it from here rather than just going to boost a post on a regular Facebook page. I should also step back for a second before I go into more of these and let you know that Facebook's a lot different than Google in the way that Facebook campaigns don't have a lot of settings. You just create a campaign with an objective, and that kind of locks in what settings you have available to you afterward. So a lot of times with a campaign, you're going to create a campaign such as prospecting general or something like that. And it's just your general prospecting campaign for new business. And when you're running that campaign, what you're going to do is you're going to set it up so that it just has your ad sets that have all the targeting within, and they are for new business. So you just kind of use it to group your account together. But really, all of your targeting and settings happen at the ad set level for the campaign that you're running. It's kind of weird because you don't set all of the settings at the campaign level and then you just build little ad sets within there that house your ads. Instead, your campaign is just the overall objective, and then the ad sets have all the individual targeting in there. Your budgets even happen at the ad set level. However, Facebook's releasing a new feature called Campaign Budget Optimization, and that is going to make it so that budgets will be assigned at the campaign level and then applied to ad sets within. So the campaigns will become more important later on. For now, make sure that you are setting up your campaign so that you are really specifically grouping your objectives together. So if you're going to run a campaign such as a conversion-focused campaign to generate purchases or leads, let's just say, on your site. So maybe it's like you're generating free trial signups as your lead, and or you're generating your e-commerce and you're generating trying to generate purchases for new business, and you're doing it with new customer acquisition, you would create a campaign that might be called something like new customer acquisition prospecting. And that campaign will be focused on conversions as the objective, and everything in there will use the same goal. And then that way, when campaign budget optimization rolls out in September to your account, this will be September 2019 that this rolls out. You can also activate it now, which I advise you testing out now so that you're ready when the switch happens, because in September, it's just going to happen and you're going to be stuck using campaign budget optimization. Well, what will happen is you'll have your campaign already grouped with the goals already grouped so that the budget optimization makes sense. Because I've seen accounts where people will have their remarketing and their prospecting in the same campaign, and those are going to perform wildly different. You know, prospecting is going to generate new business. Remarketing is going to generate a lot of high value or low CPA conversions. And what that does is it makes it so that if you start running campaign budget optimization, it'll just push all the budget to the high performing ad sets, which will be remarketing, and you might lose out on new acquisitions. So make sure that you group things accordingly. Prospecting goes together, remarketing goes together, retention goes together. We'll go into that a little bit further in a moment. Going back to consideration, you got app installs. Straightforward. That's if you're running mobile app install campaigns. So that's what that's for. You've got video views. Now, the funny thing is, you can run video view campaigns and try to generate as many views as you can. But don't think that you have to run video views campaigns if you're just using video ads, because that's not how it works. Video views are just for, you want to optimize it so that you're optimizing for people that actually watch your video. That's what that's for. It's not so that you can serve a video ad, because you could serve a video ad on all of these campaign types here. So don't think that you have to choose video views. I've seen people make that mistake. You could run a traffic campaign, for example, and use a video ad, but the goal is to generate people through to your site. You're just using a video ad instead of just generating a video view, but they never click through to the site. And I actually ran a test recently in an account where we were trying to run a branding campaign and promote a video, and I set up one campaign where it was set for traffic, and then one campaign where it was set for video views, and it was the same ad, same audience targeting in the ad sets. So everything was identical, but all that I did was had different objectives. And then the optimization at the ad set level was a little bit different. Funny thing here was the traffic generation campaign didn't have as many people watching the whole video, but it generated a shitload more visitors to the site. I mean, way more. And the video views campaign had a lot of people finish the video, but it had hardly anybody clicking through to the site. So at the end of it, we ended up turning off the video views campaign and kept the traffic generation one on, because generating the traffic to the site was important, because then they could learn more about the products. They might actually convert, even though it was more of a branding focus. It gave us some new retargeting pools that we could use. There was just some other benefits. People added things to their cart and they could get retargeted to. So there's some different benefits there. And let's move on to lead generation. Lead generation is funny because it's in consideration, but I feel like this should be in the conversion category, because it really is like a conversion style action. Lead generation, you choose this if you want to run Facebook lead generation ads, which are ads that are basically a lead form that flies out from your ad and they don't have to leave Facebook or Instagram. So you serve your ad and they might click on it and it might say, submit your email to get this free offer or whatever. They submit their email, the ad goes away, and that's it. There's usually a link for more information that can take them to your Facebook page or website or whatnot, but it is a whole separate format. So if you choose lead generation, just know that you are creating lead generation ads in that campaign. It's a specific format. So don't create that if you're a company that is B2B or B2C and your goal is to generate leads and you want them to go to your website, because you wouldn't use lead generation as your objective for that. You would use conversions and then drive them to your site. A lot of times I recommend using both and using them for different purposes and all that. So you can run lead generation and keep it simple, like email capture, or you can even run it with advanced settings and have custom questions and build out a form that's very similar to your web form. And this is a really great way to capture leads. You can even integrate it directly to your CRM, depending on what type of CRM you use. And if you're doing email, you could generate it directly to MailChimp or other systems that integrate directly to Facebook. So use lead generation, but just know that it is for a specific type of ad. There's also messages in here. Now, this is for Messenger and WhatsApp ads, so it's getting people to send messages to your business in Messenger and WhatsApp. This is a specific purpose too. Then you go over to the conversion section. You're going to see conversions. This is the pretty much the standard drive valuable actions. It is for doing this on app, Messenger, or your website. It applies to all of them. But conversions are, this is a lot of times used for generating purchases or generating a true acquisition, but you can use it for lead generation to your site as well, and you can just have the conversion type be lead. Then there's catalog sales. Catalog sales are e-commerce only, and that is for basically retargeting people or prospecting people with your product feed. So the ads are tied to your product feed, and they showcase the products that are in your feed. That's what it's for. So next, you can see store traffic. This is a little bit different. This is for driving to physical stores. So this one is not going to be applicable to a lot of us, but it is really cool that Facebook has this now for driving visits to your actual store. So I know that I answered a question for Joe, who reached out to me recently about this, about store visit tracking on the Google Ads side. Well, you can also do it on the Facebook side. So if you're a bank and you have branches and you want to get people to come in to create an account in person, you can run store traffic. So that is a cool feature, just so that everyone is aware of that. So I'm going to move on now into some of the different things that you can do afterwards. So I'm actually going to go over to one of my ad sets here. Now, when you go to create an ad set, you have to choose, especially if you're running a conversion campaign, what the conversion event location is. So you'll have some options here. So you can go in and you can choose based on what your pixel is set up with. Now, I know that I said I wasn't going to go too much into the pixel here, but I do have to talk about it just a little bit. Otherwise, it's not going to make any sense. So when you go into the pixel settings, you're going to basically set it up so that the Facebook pixel is on every page of your site. That's going to allow you to build remarketing, retargeting lists. It's also going to allow you to track specific events. Now, you can use the old school setup where you define events based on the URL, and then you have like custom events such as purchase, and it's slash thank you, and they hit the page that had slash thank you. So this is more of like the kind of setup that you would use with something like Google Analytics, but you can do it with the Facebook pixel. There's also the newer style of setup where you actually just put little pieces of code in the Facebook pixel itself to use specific pre-programmed options that they have, such as sign up or lead or purchase. I like using that because then what it does is it allows the conversion to automatically map to the settings that Facebook already has built in. So I just find that to be a lot more useful. So try to go and look at these things, look at the different settings and see what you have available to you, and then you'll be able to go from there. I mean, it just depends on your business. You might already be going into a Facebook account that has the pixel set up. You can see what's available, make sure that it's all tracking the right way, and then diagnose like if you need to change anything, figure out if you want to work with the settings that are already in there. And then you can usually just choose what's already available if it has been set up the right way. Now, if you're setting it up brand new the first time, you're going to have a little bit of work to do. So just go through and you'll see that there are quite a few resources that will tell you how to do all this within Facebook's training. I pointed to Facebook's training on the last episode, episode 6. So go and listen to that and then go check out the links and go to the Facebook training. There's also Facebook help resources, all this stuff. So I'm not going to go through step by step how to set everything up. It's all online. It's easy to find and you can figure it out accordingly. You can also reach out to Facebook if you need help. So moving on to the next steps here. Within the ad sets, you're going to have different optimization settings that you have based on the objective that you chose. So let's say you're using conversions as your goal. Most of the time, if you're lead generation, you're going to be using a setting called lowest cost. So I want to make sure that this is very, very transparent. It gets a little confusing with the language that Facebook uses. So you'll go down into your ad set and there will be settings for optimization and delivery. And usually you're going to have conversions, but sometimes you might have value. Value is only used if you are tracking revenue. So if you are tracking revenue because you are an e-commerce site, or you're tracking revenue because you're a lead generation site and you've decided that you have a value per lead and you've really calculated that out and you want to use that, then you might have value as an option. And this will optimize to get you the highest revenue generated, so the highest return on ad spend, ROAS. That's what value is for. So if you're e-commerce, most of the time you're going to use optimization on value. But if you're running prospecting campaigns and it's new business and you're not going to generate a lot of direct sales from cold traffic, you're going to want to run conversions instead of value when you go to set this up, and you'll use a setting that is called basically lowest cost, or you can use average cost. There's a couple of different ways to do it, but you'll typically end up using a thing where it does basically like the lowest cost per conversion, and you might be using like initiated checkout or add to cart, and then you're optimizing for people that just add the products to their cart, and then you hope that your dynamic remarketing will close the deal. Similarly, for prospecting on lead generation, you're going to use conversions, except you're going to do it based on leads. So you'll run conversions. It'll automatically default to the lowest cost per conversion, and that's what you'll run. Now, you do have to be careful here because Facebook uses a 28-day click, one-day view as its default conversion window. So somebody will see your ad and convert a different way sometimes, and that will count as a view conversion if it happens within one day. So when you go to choose your optimization, a lot of times I'll actually use 7 days click as my conversion window for optimization. It doesn't change your default settings. It doesn't change how Facebook reports success. It still uses 28-day click or one-day view, which you can see the different performance settings by changing it in the grid and under the custom columns, and there's a whole section for that. So you can actually compare how did you do with default reporting versus just 28-day click versus if you use a longer view window and all that. But when you go to change your optimization settings, if you're using value, you only can do 7-day click or 1-day click for your conversion window. So it'll be 1 day after clicking or 7 days after clicking for your optimization. If you're doing conversions, you'll choose either after clicking ad and it'll be 1 day click, 7 day click, or after clicking or viewing ad and you get 1 day click or view, 7 day click, or 1 day view. This is important because it will affect how Facebook is making its optimizations. A lot of times I'll use 7 days click for my optimization because I want people to actually click through and convert. However, sometimes you get better results using 7 day click or 1 day view. If you're running a lot of video ads and you don't expect people to always click through, but they're definitely seeing you, you're definitely getting in front of them, and you're definitely trying to influence their decision that way, and they might come back organically and things like that. So this is just up to you and up to your business. I'm not going to tell you that there is a right or wrong way here because I use different settings for different accounts based on our goals and objectives and everything. So next I'm going to go down. Landing page views is what I was talking about earlier. You can optimize for landing page views. Underneath these, you're going to have cost controls. So just cost control is going to allow you to see what your minimum ROAS would be, what your basically maximum or average cost per conversion would be. If you're using landing page views, you can set like an average cost per landing page view target. And there's some different ones in here too. You can use other options where you can do link clicks, impressions, daily unique reach. A lot of these you're not going to use very often. These are like the old school things where you kind of try to set a target CPM or set a target cost per link click. These are just old school settings. You don't really use those that much anymore. Daily unique reach, there might be use cases for that here and there, depending on what you're doing. But most of the time, I'm going to set it to optimize for conversions or optimize for value. I might change the conversion action, like I was talking about earlier, to initiate checkout or add to cart, which you do up at the top when you're setting up your ad set. But most of the time, I'm going to use whatever my actual purchase is or my actual lead sign up is for my conversion action. Almost always, you get better results that way. Now, of course, there's going to be times where you don't. There's going to be times where you just have some account where you have a campaign that is set on engagement with a promoted post and it generates way more leads than anything else, and it's just some fucked up thing where it just happened to work out better that way. But don't think that you're going to outsmart the algorithm by creating weird campaign settings that are not intended to be used a certain way and that you're going to beat the usual way of optimizing on conversions, because most of the time you're not, and you may have gotten lucky before, but they are just trying to make it work as intended more and more every day. So the cost controls keep changing. I'm looking at it right now, and they'll show you cost cap, bid cap, target cost. There's different settings in here. You can read the learn more sections to find out more about these. I'm not going to go into every single detail here because it'll just be overwhelming and annoying. But you can learn a lot about these by just going to the learn more sections and reading about them and all that. When you set up campaign budget optimization at the campaign level, a lot of those optimization settings will happen there at the campaign level, and they'll apply to the ad sets, but there's still a lot of things within each ad set that you'll have to go and adjust, such as the audience targeting, the location geos, the demographics, and all that kind of stuff. That's all at the ad set level. Then the ads are within each ad set. So I'm going to step back for a second and cover some some basics here. You have your campaign, and you need to group it according to what the goals are going to be and who the audiences are going to be. So, rule of thumb, remarketing, retargeting, whatever the fuck you call it, because it's the same shit, group that into one campaign. So you got your remarketing, retargeting, whatever. If you're e-commerce, group remarketing and general remarketing creatives into one campaign, and then dynamic product ad remarketing into another with your catalog sales. Because they're two different objectives. One is conversions, one is catalog sales. So you would group those, so you'd have two. So if you're a lead generation business, you can usually group it one remarketing campaign, and that's all that you're going to need for your remarketing, unless you're a huge business with all different business units, and you've got services across all kinds of different things with different lead values and all this stuff, then group it according to business unit. Maybe you have business unit A remarketing and business unit B remarketing, because the average value per customer is way different and all that. So obviously use your best judgment. You know more about your business than anyone else does. Group them according to what makes the most sense for those campaigns. So you're going to have your remarketing. Then you're going to have prospecting. Prospecting is going to be things like lookalikes based on your purchasers, or it's going to be interest targeting. Some of the different options that you have. Prospecting, new customer acquisition, however you want to define it. This is going to be basically cold traffic. People who don't know about you that you want to introduce to your brand and try to get to convert. So cold traffic, that is going to go into a separate campaign. Call it what you want. I usually call it prospecting, but you can call it whatever you want. So then you have, so now you have remarketing, you have prospecting. Next thing is you are going to have retention. So retention is not always applicable. If you're a company that you typically generate a lead, that lead closes into a sale, and you don't really re-engage the person afterwards because they've become a customer, you don't really need to try to upsell them any new products, services, anything like that, you might not need a retention group. If you're e-commerce, though, and you sell products to people and you know that there's people who will buy from you multiple times, it's good to have a retention campaign where you have audiences in there for people that have purchased from you before. Maybe they haven't purchased from you for 30 days, but they've purchased from you before, and then you start advertising to them. And that is like a retention campaign, or you have a new service offering that you want to make your existing customers aware of, you advertise to them through a retention campaign. There's a lot of different ways that retention campaigns can benefit you, and so you'll have a retention grouping. After this, there's some other things, like if you're an e-commerce client, you might do what's called DABA, Dynamic Ads for Broad Audiences, where you run catalog sale prospecting. And this is running it for people that have never interacted with your brand before. So it's based on just your pixel data and Facebook determining who would be likely to purchase from you. It's super black box, but it can work really well. And you can also layer in lookalike audiences and things like that. But that is another category. And then there might be some other things that happen here and there. So if you're lead generation, you might have your prospecting conversions campaign, but then you might have another prospecting lead generation campaign with lead form ads. And then maybe you even have like a branding campaign that's focused on generating just traffic to your site. And there's other ways that you might group things, but just remember, it's going to be based on what the objectives are, what the goals are for your account, who the audiences are. You group it accordingly. And just remember that you're going to eventually be using campaign budget optimization, which allows Facebook to push your daily budget into the ad sets within there that are working really well. And this is why it's important to group them in ways that make sense. Always think about your audiences. So there is a whole other thing within Facebook in the audience manager where you can do a lot of different work here. So I want to just talk real quick about this. You need to go into audiences and build out audiences in there for your existing customers. You can upload lists. You can then build lookalikes on those lists. You can build audiences based on your pixel for remarketing, based on your website, what pages they visit, based on people who already convert. So if you're running prospecting campaigns for new business, you can put an exclusion on there for people who convert. That way you're not advertising to them again after they've already converted. That's just a good best practice for you. So you can do different things in here, but go through the audiences section and learn about that, because there's going to be a lot of work that you do there, and lookalike audiences tend to be some of the best performing things on Facebook advertising. And the way a lookalike works is you'll take, let's say, your customer list, and you'll build a 1% lookalike in the U.S. The audiences are always the same size because the way that they work is they are based on the entire Facebook population in whatever geo you're going after. So if you're going after U.S., the 1% of Facebook users in the U.S. is always the same size. However, they choose who is in that 1% audience based on your list. So that's an important thing because they have so many different factors that we're unaware of and that they don't even reveal to us of how they match people to those audiences, and it works extremely well. So you'll build a lot of different lookalikes off of your customers. A lot of times I'll build 1%, and then I'll build 2% and 3% and 3 to 5, and you can actually do a bunch of breakdowns in there of your audiences. And there's a lot of other features in there. I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but go through, build out some audiences in there. You can also build out some audiences with some of their other tools. They have a whole thing called Audience Insights where you can build out based on interests and demographics and things like that. You can build out and save audiences in there. And then what you want to do is start building out your ad sets within these campaigns. All right, this is where it gets a little weird. Now, everyone knows my opinion on SKAGs, single keyword ad groups in Google and Bing. I fucking hate them for the most part. But every once in a while, there's a use case to have a single keyword ad group, whatever. Most of the time, I hate when people set up accounts where they have 9,000 ad groups and only 5 of the ad groups get traffic. It's just a stupid thing to do. Same applies pretty much to Facebook, except for different reasons. With Facebook, optimization happens at the ad set level, and your settings happen at the ad set level. Facebook wants you to get a lot of conversions before it will tell you that it can optimize. I mean, realistically, you want to be getting 50, 100 conversions per week within an ad set to be using the optimization accordingly. If you're only getting 1 conversion per day in an ad set, it's going to take a very long time for that ad set to get optimized properly. And it's really difficult because if you're running prospecting, it's hard to get 50 purchases in a week or 50 leads in a week when it's a really specifically targeted thing that you're offering, and leads can cost $5,000 each. The fuck? Whose leads cost $5,000 each? All right, let me switch that. Leads can cost $500 each. Whatever. Like, that's a lot. It's going to take a lot of money to get 50 of those per week, and you might not even have that in the budget right now. So it just depends on what you're doing. And then you got your remarketing where you're going to get a lot of leads, a lot of sales, and that one might be fine. But if you start trying to over-segment, you can see where the problem comes in. So if you're going to think that you're going to go in here and you're going to build out remarketing 1-day audience, remarketing 4-day audience, remarketing 7-day, remarketing 9-day, and you're going to have a different ad set for each one of these, you're going to screw yourself over because there's not going to be enough conversion data for Facebook to optimize it accordingly. Then the campaign's not going to, or the ad sets are not going to work out that well, and you're going to get frustrated and you're going to think Facebook doesn't work. But that's just wrong, because Facebook advertising works in almost every business that I've used it for. I mean, of course, there's going to be times where it just isn't the best channel for you, and that's fine. But a lot of the times, you're going to get results from it. And this goes for B2B as well. There's a lot of people who check their phones while they're at the office, and they're willing to submit a lead form, and it's fine. Like, it works in B2B. Like, it's just, it does. So let me move on and talk about how I like to group things. A lot of times, it's going to depend on the size of the audience. So if you're running remarketing, you might only run a 7-day and then like an 8 to 30 day ad set. So you have 2 ad sets for your all site visitors or something. That might be enough, because when you have your optimization turned on to optimize on conversions at the lowest cost or highest value for the ROAS stuff, it's going to choose the people that have other indicators that we don't know about. So you might have people in your 7-day audience that Facebook just knows are likely to purchase based on certain indicators that they have that they don't really reveal to us. So you'll find that having a simplified structure like that will get you better results a lot of the time. And then with prospecting, it's the same sort of thing. You might have a prospecting campaign where you only have 2 ad sets. You've grouped together a bunch of different interests that make sense, some lookalikes that make sense, and you're geo-targeting the U.S. only, so you only have this one ad set that is based on all of these different lookalikes that have worked out for you. And you might have another one that's based on all these different interests that work out for you. And then that's it. And that's all you're running. You don't need to build an ad set for Facebook newsfeed users who are in one lookalike audience and then build that same ad set out for Instagram and then build that same ad set out for desktop newsfeed and then so on. And then all of a sudden, you're then separating by gender and then you're separating by age and then you're separating by... Just don't do that. You're just going to fuck yourself over. Don't do it. And I will tell you, it used to make sense to do it. So that's why this is so frustrating. It used to make sense to structure things this way. It really did. I used to do it. I used to structure accounts with really segmented ad sets because Facebook wasn't that good at optimizing. I don't do it anymore. I've said this before. I'll probably say it again, but it's important because some people might miss it the first time or might not listen to this episode or whatever. So I will say it from time to time and I'll give updates. And if this ever changes, I'll come back and I'll say, hey, I have a new approach. And this is fine because you have to change with the times. Don't try to hang on to approaches that used to work for you because they probably don't work anymore. And this is just because Facebook changes so much. And some of these things I've changed very recently. Some of these I was grouping things and just splitting Instagram and Facebook from each other because I was getting different results. But as it turns out, then I tested grouping them together and I got better results when I grouped them together. There might be times where you have to segment out and then remove a placement because it just doesn't work for you. You know, you have to use your best judgment. You have to analyze your account and you can see the breakdowns within the interface. There's a breakdown section. You can break down by delivery, by placement, placement and device. You can do it by age and gender, business locations, country. There's all these different ways to break down the performance. So you can still see it even when it's grouped together and you can know if there's things that you do have to remove and you can still make optimizations afterwards. But don't go in there trying to build some crazy segmented structure because you're never going to have enough conversion data to actually get proper results that you want for your business. So keep it simple. You might only have one ad set in prospecting that has like 20 million people in it, and that might actually be a good thing. That might actually perform better than having 10 ad sets that each have 2 million people. So look out for that, test it, analyze it. Facebook will recommend it to you, and they're right on this. It really does work better. I've tested it, and you can test it in your accounts as well. The reason I'm acting like I'm defending a point here is that there's so many people in this space that still try to argue for these kind of structures. And I've tried it. I've been there. I've run segmented structures like this in the past. They just don't work that well anymore. So there's not too much else that I want to cover on this particular episode. Really, I just wanted to talk about some of the basics of campaign objectives, how you set up your ad sets, and then what you should do in terms of grouping. You don't need to overdo it. You can build out different audiences and get audience insights. You can go into your different custom email lists and different things with your email software, and you can come up with different segments that you can build out for lookalikes. There's a lot of different things that you can do in there, and sometimes it does make sense when you're testing those out to test out different lookalikes in a different ad set here and there. Because you don't know how it's going to do if you just add that lookalike audience to an existing ad set. It might throw off performance. So sometimes you do want to still run some different testing in here. You can use different things like Facebook's test and learn reporting to try out different stuff too. There is a thing in the analyze and report section of Facebook Business Manager called test and learn, where you can run some pretty cool different types of tests for your account if you're not sure how things are going to impact you. So look out for that too, because you don't want to lose out on seeing what would happen if you launched a new setting in your account. Maybe even what would happen if you didn't advertise to a segment, like if you didn't run remarketing. What would actually happen? How would it impact your business? Maybe you have a client who's skeptical of the impact of view-through conversions from Facebook. So there are things like that that can really help you. And if you go into the test and learn, those are called holdout tests where you'd run that kind of thing. But there's also A/B tests in here. So like which campaign will give you the lowest cost per conversion if you want to split test some different things. And there's some other stuff too for running, you know, better results, running different cost per results, whatever. There's different like conversion lift studies. There's all kinds of stuff that you can run in here. So I just want you to be aware that you can run some pretty cool testing now. You can also run some tests yourself by having an ad set that you just maybe run some smaller audiences for to see how they perform before you introduce them to your larger ad set budgets, things like that. There's different ways that people are still testing, and I don't necessarily have a right or wrong approach yet for that because that's still all evolving, and I do it in a couple of different ways based on the account and the size. But there are a lot of potential things that you can do here, and there's a lot more that can be said about ads. I should just cover real quick. When it comes to how you're going to group your ads together, just remember that you can put video, carousel, single image, collection, all these things together now in the ad sets because it just makes sense to do that, and then they can rotate based on what's performing the best. It used to make sense to group these things separate. You might have video ads in one ad set. You might have a single image in another, carousel in another. It doesn't work as well anymore, and it actually works better to have multiple ad types within one ad set. So I'll run video. I'll run carousels that are mixed with video and images in the carousel itself. I'll run some single image and single, I don't really run single image as often anymore, but I will run it when it makes sense. A lot of times I'm running carousel. And then I'll run collection ads. I'll do the instant experience stuff a little bit here and there based on, you know, some different objectives. And we can talk about that another time too. But I will group these all into ad sets together. I won't separate out ad sets by ad type because that just doesn't really make sense anymore. Facebook might know that certain users respond better to video and other ones respond better to carousel, and that's why it chooses to show one to the person that's within your ad set than over the other. If you try to control that yourself, you're basically working a little bit against their algorithm while trying to use their algorithm, and that's just not the best approach. So make sure that you have multiple ad types, and I will say that accounts that run multiple ad types tend to work a lot better. If you only run carousel ads, or you only run single image, or you only run video, you just don't do as well as running other ad types because some users just respond better to different ad types. Also, Facebook might decide to show the video to somebody and then later show the carousel and they convert on the carousel. So that is a really important thing when you have those in there, and it gives the algorithm a chance to work to get you the best results. So make sure that you're grouping those together and you're testing out creative a lot. And the most important thing here is that your creative is what is the most important thing for you to be testing in your account, because the algorithm is going to work well if you have good audiences and you group things together and you give it enough data, but you have to be testing your creative, and you should be building your creative based around who the persona is that you're targeting. And the persona that you're targeting, that's how you should be determining who is in your ad sets. So I want to be clear here. I was talking about some of the broader targeting that you can use, but you don't want to have your account be set up so that you pretty much just have one gigantic audience that you use one gigantic set of creative to target, because you need to speak to people in different ways based on who they are in as a customer to you and what their interests are and all that. So if you have the type of business where you offer a product or service that's appealing to different people for different reasons, then you should be grouping your ad sets that way with your creative groups that way. So just for example, if you have people that are interested in fitness, that are interested in what you offer as a product, and then you have other people that are interested in extreme sports, but it's not really like weightlifting, body fitness, that sort of stuff, well, then you might have two different groups with different creative. You might have the extreme sports people have ads that have people doing those extreme sports on them or speaking about the extreme sports or whatever. And then the ones for the interest in fitness might have that type of imagery, comments about or creative that talks about working out or the benefits of fitness, whatever it is. Like it just showcases your product and it's and what it does in different ways. It talks to the people based on what their needs are. You're going to want to group things accordingly to that as well. I'm not going to spend this whole episode talking about persona development because that's a whole different topic. but it's an important thing to think about when you are structuring your campaigns. So I will come back to that at a later date and just talk about figuring out who your personas are when you're doing this type of online advertising, and then building your campaign structures a little bit around that, your creative around that. But just remember, creative in Facebook is one of the most important things, and it is going to be what drives the best performance for you if you are testing your creative regularly, making sure that you don't let your creative get too stale. You change it based on what's happening, and that is where you focus a lot of your efforts. I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't done so yet. Please let some other people know about the podcast. I would really like it if you get some people that are not exposed to paid media involved. I've actually been talking to some people that have no experience in the space, and I've been trying to point them to episodes like episode 6 to let them know, hey, this is a good place for you to start learning if you're trying to figure out something different for your career. Maybe you want to get into paid media, or maybe you work in something else, but you're just curious to develop your skill set there. Like maybe you work in a different type of marketing and you want to develop your skill set there. I actually had someone reach out to me recently that said that they're an SEO professional and they really want to learn about paid media. So I pointed them over to that. And I think that there's a lot that can be gained that way. Now, of course, if you are brand new and you try to go to listen to like my episode on search structure, it might not really work that well for you, but that's just the way it goes. I have to have different episodes for different people, and they will not be in chronological order. It'll kind of be, you'll have to go back after you've gotten some experience and then listen to that episode, and that'll work better for you. So if you have any other questions, any other feedback, send it over. But till the next time, talk to you soon.